The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 22, text number 5, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on May 15th, 2008, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 22, Prithu Maharaja's meeting with the four Kumaras, text number 5. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Tat pada saucha salilair.
Tat pada saucha salilair.
Majita lakka bandhana.
Majita lakka bandhana.
Tatra shila vatang vrittam. Acharan manayandiva.
Acharan manayandiva.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. After this, the king took the water which had washed the lotus feet of the Kumaras and sprinkled it over his hair. By such respectable actions, the king, as an exemplary personality, showed how to receive a spiritually advanced personality. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Apaniyachari Prabhu Jiveri Sikaya. It is very well known that whatever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught in his life as Acharya, he himself practiced. When he was preaching as a devotee, although he was detected by several great personalities to be the incarnation of Krishna, he never agreed to be addressed as an incarnation. Even though one may be an incarnation of Krishna or especially empowered by him, he should not advertise that he is an incarnation. People will automatically accept the real truth in due course of time. Prithu Maharaj was the ideal Vaishnava king. Therefore, he taught others by his personal behavior how to receive and respect saintly persons like the Kumaras. When a saintly person comes to one's home, it is the Vedic custom first to wash his feet with water and then sprinkle this water over the heads of oneself and one's family. Prithu Maharaj did this, for he was an exemplary teacher of the people in general.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sagana Raguna Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha.
So Prithu Maharaj, he is showing the ideal example. You see, that when a saintly person comes, that you should wash his feet.
Kai ateina pasišventa asmenybė, jums reikia nuplauti jo pėdas.
And sprinkle that water over the heads of oneself and one's family member.
O vandenį likusį pašlakstyti savo galvos ir ant savo šeimos narių galvų.
This is a very nice custom, actually.
Tai yra labai gražus paprotys.
It is the proper way to receive a saintly person. Another interesting point in this verse is this. That one who is an incarnation does not advertise himself as an incarnation. This also applies to a jiva who is empowered by Krishna.
Taip pat to nedaro netgi siela, kuri yra įgaliota Dievo.
Just like the term Shaktivesh Avatar.
Pavyzdžiui, kaip terminas Shaktivesh Avatara.
Our founder Acharya, his divine grace Srila Prabhupada,
mūsų judėjimo įkūrėjas Srila Prabhupada,
is certainly a Shaktivesh Avatar.
Tikrai yra Shaktivesh Avatara.
One who is empowered by Krishna to distribute Krishna Bhakti throughout the universe.
Kuris yra sutiktas Krishnos galių paskleisti Krishna sąmonę.
But did we ever hear Srila Prabhupada saying, I am a Shaktivesh Avatar?
Bet ar kas nors girdėjo Prabhupada kada nors teigiant, kad jis yra Shaktivesh Avatar?
No, he simply showed by his actions that he was a Shaktivesh Avatar.
Jis tai įrodė paprasčiausiai savo veiksmais.
He did not have to advertise.
Jam nereikėjo to skelbti.
We could see this person is Jagat Guru.
Mes galime matyti, kad šita asmenybė yra Jagat Guru.
By his actions, it was obvious.
Tai yra akivaizdų jo veiksmų.
So, this is the natural humility of the Vaishnava.
Tai yra toks natūralus Vaishnava nuolankumas.
There are 26 qualities of the devotees mentioned in the Shastra.
Šventraščiuose aprašytas 26 Vaishnava arba atsidavusios savybės.
One of those qualities is the Vaishnava is silent.
Ir viena iš jų yra, kad Vaishnava yra tylus.
Prabhupada defined it in this way that he does not advertise himself.
Prabhupada niekada, kaip žinome, nesiskelbė nieko.
Silent worker, Prabhupada said.
Prabhupada buvo tylus, ramus darbininkas.
He's very happy to do his service, that's all.
Jam paprasčiausiai patiko atlikti savo tarnystę.
He doesn't need some to promote himself that everyone see what wonderful service I'm doing. He simply finds that he is the most fortunate person to have the opportunity to engage in this service. In other words, he's not looking to get a reward from his service. The service itself is the reward. When you work a job, you do it to get paid the money. If there was no pay, you wouldn't do the work. So what is the pay for devotional service? The pay is the devotional service itself. So, the karmi, he has to wait to get rewarded for his work.
Taigi, karmis turi laukti, kol jis bus atlyginta už darbą.
But we get our reward instantly.
Tačiau mes savo atlygį gaunam nedelsiant.
Because as soon as you engage in devotional service, you're getting paid with the reward of devotional service.
Kai tik mes užsiimam atsidavimo tarnystę, tai yra mūsų atlygis už atsidavimo tarnystę.
So, we are actually the best paid workers in the whole world.
Todėl mes esame geriausiai apmokami darbininkai visame pasaulyje.
Because Krishna Prem or Krishna Bhakti, it is more valuable than all the wealth even of Kuvera, the treasure of the demigod. So, if you want to be rich, just chant Hare Krishna. You become the most wealthy person in the whole universe. If you want to be powerful also, all of just by becoming Krishna conscious, then everything comes, you see. The other day, one subscriber to my e-course, he wrote me, he said, I want power so I can get money. so I can control people. So I can be happy. I want to have power. What a fool he was. But the thing is, nobody, even by getting power, nobody becomes happy in this world. Look at how powerful Hitler was, but was he a happy person? Nobody becomes happy by becoming powerful. And what power they can actually have,
you see.
The actual power is Krishna, Balang Balavadang Chaham. The real power is
Krishna.
So if one tries to become powerful on his own, like a Ravana, wanting to enjoy the energy of the Lord Sita for his own sense gratification, he'll be smashed, that's all. So such acquirement of power is of no value. But if one, as mentioned here, an empowered, one who is empowered by the Lord, if you fully surrender yourself to the supreme powerful personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, and agree, just as Arjuna did, because he become an instrument in the hands of Krishna, then guess what happened? If you're fully surrendered to Krishna, then the full power of Krishna comes through you. That is the meaning of being an empowered incarnation. Actually, any person can become an empowered incarnation. You just have to be like Hanuman or Arjuna, become completely an instrument in the hands of Krishna. And then Krishna can fully utilize you, just as he fully utilized Srila Prabhupada for spreading Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. So that's why it's emphasized again and again, surrender to Krishna. Fully surrender yourself to Krishna. We hear that phrase again and again, we say it again and again, but we oftentimes forget what it really means. It means you agree to be a puppet in the hands of Krishna. Let him pull my strings, and whatever he wants me to do, that's all right. You see? It means you have complete, total faith in Krishna. The Krishna will always do the best thing for me. He will never do something wrong. And I can always completely trust whatever arrangement Krishna makes, that is perfect. Actually, there's a nice story in this connection. I may have told that story here before, but some of you may not have heard it yet. There was one king, and he had a prime minister. And this prime minister was very Krishna conscious. The prime minister used to always say, whatever Krishna does is all right. Whatever happened, the prime minister would see, oh, this is the arrangement of Krishna, and whatever Krishna does is all right. So one day the king had a little accident. He chopped off one of his fingers. The prime minister said, your majesty, don't worry, whatever Krishna does is all right. So the king became very, very angry. I lost my finger. And you say that it's all right? You rascal, into the dungeon with you. Dungeon is the dark, dirty prison underneath the castle, you know. With the rats and the chains. Very horrible jail. It's called dungeon. Horrible, horrible jail, you see. So they put the prime minister in there. They chain him to the wall, you see. Heavy, heavy punishment. So anyway, you know, in the Vedic culture, the kings, they would not just sit in the palace. King meant, if there's a war, he has to lead the battle himself. Personally, he has to lead the battle. So the king has to be a very expert killer, you see. He has to be very expert at using weapons. He has to be a very expert fighter. So in any skill, to keep that skill good, you have to practice. It's like if you're a musician, you have to play music regularly. You keep your skills strong, you see. Of course, in ISKCON we have a good facility because we do music all day. Every day we're singing and dancing. So anyway, the kings, they would have to practice this killing art, to stay expert at the art of killing. So they would go to the forest where the wild animals sometimes harass the sages who are meditating there. Tigers and, you know, lions like that. So they would kill these wild animals, you see. By fighting with them. And this way they would be strong in their killing art. So the king, he went to the forest on a hunting trip. And he was kidnapped by a band of dacoits. Dacoits means bandits. Worshippers of goddess Kali. They would capture human beings and offer them as human sacrifice to goddess Kali. It wouldn't be fun to be captured and offered to goddess Kali, I don't think. So they bathed him, they gave him fresh clothes, they fed him his last dinner, and then they were preparing to sacrifice him for goddess Kali, kill him. But then they noticed he was missing a finger. And they're thinking, oh no, if we offer an imperfect human being to goddess Kali, she'll become very angry with us, you see. So when they saw his missing finger, they let him go. So he was thinking, oh my goodness, the prime minister was right. My life was saved. I lost my finger, but my life was saved, you see. How right that prime minister was. Whatever Krishna does is all right. But I put my prime minister in the dungeon. I must go back to the palace quickly and release him from the dungeon. So with all haste, he proceeded back to his kingdom and he went to the dungeon and personally released the prime minister and apologized to him. And the prime minister, he was not in any anxiety. He was there in the cell. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The king said, I'm so sorry, you're right, whatever Krishna does is all right. But you look so peaceful and happy, you're not angry with me? Why is it you're not angry with me for throwing you in the dungeon?
Kodėl tu nepyksti ant manęs, kad aš tave nusinčiau tokį kalėjimą žiaurų?
And the Prime Minister said, Your Majesty, you know, when you go on those hunting trips, I always go with you.
Aš visada vykdau su tavim.
And I have all my fingers.
Ir mano rankos yra sveikos.
Whatever Krishna does is all right.
Ir ką Krishna suplanuotų, viskas yra gerai.
So in this way, we have to always have great faith in
Krishna.
That whatever arrangement he makes for me, whatever situation he puts me in, it is all right. It is for my purification. It is for my advancement. So we should never think that Krishna is doing something wrong or incorrectly. We should just see that whatever position I am in is the great mercy of Krishna. Now let me utilize this to totally surrender to Him, totally absorb myself in glorifying Him 24 hours a day. If you can always keep this transcendental vision, I can guarantee you this, you'll never be depressed. You'll never be afraid. You'll never be bewildered. You'll never be confused. And you'll always feel very, very enthused. You see, you won't be confused, you will be enthused. No, you will not be confused, you will be enthused.
The last word?
Enthused. It means very fired up. You'll be full of enlivenment, full of enthusiasm. You see? Ready to do anything and everything to please Guru and Krishna. This is called Krishna consciousness. And that's the name of our movement. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So if you're a member of this movement, then you must always be enthusiastic to do whatever Krishna wants you to do. That's the meaning of being a member of this movement. As I stated on a previous visit here to Kaunas, ask not what ISKCON can do for you. Don't ask what ISKCON can do for you. You should ask, what can I do for ISKCON? ISKCON is an incarnation of Krishna. It is the incarnation of Krishna at the present moment on this planet. Krishna has appeared as ISKCON. So don't ask what ISKCON can do for you, ask what you can do for ISKCON. Be always in a loving, giving, caring, sharing mood. Don't be selfish. Don't be greedy. Don't be lusty. Don't be angry. Don't be lazy. Don't be crazy. Simply be always in a loving, caring, giving, and sharing mood. And if you do so, I guarantee you, you will be swimming in an unlimited ocean of nectar at every second. You will be absolutely amazed that so much nectar could be tasted while one is still living within this material existence. Actually, in such a state of mind, you will not be even living in this material existence. You will be fully absorbed in the spiritual existence. So it's worth chanting 16 rounds and following the principles. It's worth taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. and fully surrendering to his instructions. It pays off. It's the greatest deal you can ever get anywhere in the whole existence. There's nothing better. You can go here, you can go there, you can try this and you can try that. But nothing compares to surrendering to Krishna. It's the only thing worth doing. If you don't believe me, try everything else. And then try surrendering to Krishna. And compare the result. But if you want to save time, take my word for it. Just surrender fully to Krishna right now. That's it. Why waste time, you know, with Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam? Simply fully surrender right now, you see. This is what the acharyas are telling us to do. Tamasima Jyotirgama. Do not remain in the darkness. Come to the light.
You see?
The brilliant, this is the sun is coming through this window, you see, illuminating this room. Allow the sun of Krishna to illuminate your heart. Do not remain under the influence of tamagun, rajagun, sattvagun. Allow the words of the spiritual master to cut through the hridaya granthi, the hard knot in the heart. So that you can see Krishna within and without. I mean, who would want to see this material world when you can see Krishna? Actually, there's nothing that exists except for Krishna. Everything is his energy, his manifested energy. So Krishna is everywhere, actually. But we are covered by the cloud of Maya, so we do not see Krishna, we see his material energy instead. But just imagine if you could personally see Krishna at every minute and be associating with him at every minute, 24 hours a day. That is what is experienced by the pure devotees. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santak sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yang sham shunyam chintyu ganasva rupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. So, let us come to that consciousness. That's where the real nectar is. Not in this sense gratification. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
Krishna, mums reiškia, jis Bhagavad Gita pasakė, kad aš esu aukščiausias dievo asmuo, o čia kaip sako, kad nesiskelbė, tai čia ar kažkokia ypatinga malonė Krishnas ar kas čia?
Kokia tai dalis?
Ar čia Krishnas kažkokia malonė?
Kad jis pasakė, kad jis... In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has declared that he is the supreme Godhead. Is it... why?
Why has he declared that he's the supreme?
Yeah. You said that...
Krishna is honest.
Krishna said, yes, okay, that's what I
said. And he's telling that for our benefit.
It is the sacrum of Sunabe.
Ah, well, when Lord Chaitanya came, he never stated he was. But Krishna says that he is. That's a different thing. Lord Chaitanya is in the mood of a devotee. So, if somebody called and said, oh, you are Vishnu, you are God, he would close his hands. over his ears. He couldn't tolerate being called God. He was blocking. But Krishna openly declared that he was the Supreme Lord. And he spoke the Bhagavad Gita, he made it very clear. Krishna had no problem showing his supremacy as the Supreme Lord. When he went to Mathura, he wasn't shy about showing that he was the Supreme. He and his cowherd boys were walking up and down the street like they owned the, like they owned the place. They came upon the washerman of the king. The washerman who washed the king's laundry. The washerman, he had all the royal, you know, the clothing of the king is very, very opulent, silk and velvet and, you know, very opulent clothing. He had this big load of opulent clothing that worn by the king. So when Krishna saw, he said, "You give me that." So the washerman said, "What are you talking about? This belongs to the king. Who are you? Who do you think you are, you impotent boy?" He was chastising Krishna. "Why, how dare you ask for the king's clothing?" So do you think Krishna was shy about showing his supremacy? You know what Krishna did? He took his hand like this and cut off the washerman's head. Whap! And then they took all the clothes and all the cowherd boys put on. Krishna and the cowherd boys dressed up in all the king's clothing. So Krishna wasn't shy about, when he was in his form of Krishna, he wasn't at all shy about showing that he was the Supreme. Everything belongs to me, you give it to me. Who are you not to give it to me? Off with your head, you rascal. So they had, it was quite a day in Mathura. They were walking up and down the street, you see. Now they were all decked out in the king's clothing, checking out the neighborhood, you know. Next question.
Today in this verse there is said that when we receive a sainted person we should wash his feet. Mm-hmm. So should we wash the feet of our spiritual master so that he comes?
Well, that is actually that's stated here. That is the Vedic tradition. I think the GBC made some rule about this. They thought it was that you're only allowed to do that once a year on the Vyas Puja day in the temple. I don't know if that's really, I agree that that's the best resolution to have on the books, because it goes against what's stated here in Prabhupada's books. But we have to, Prabhupada also wanted us to obey the GBC, so we have to go along with the GBC resolution. But if you're in some place outside of the temple, then it's very nice. Actually, some temples I go to, they do it anyway. Every time I arrive at their temple, they have a foot bathing ceremony. I think they must not be aware of the GBC resolution. But I don't advise that you do that because it's against the law of ISKCON. But if it's some other place besides the temple, then it is It is actually the Vedic custom that one should do them. Whatever it's stated here. That's the standard. I remember even when Prabhupada was here, we used to do that for sannyasis. I remember when Tamal Krishna Maharaj came to visit our temple, we had a foot bathing for him. So it's a very nice Vedic custom. It's not wrong. That's our Shastra, that's our culture, that's our tradition. Any other questions?
Had to do that washman which head was cut down by Krishna that he get such a
what pious activities did he what great pious activity did he render in order to have the fortune of having his head cut off directly by Krishna?
Yes.
I don't know. But he must have done some great qualification to be able to be directly killed by Krishna. It's very unfortunate, very fortunate position to have Krishna directly cut your head off with his hand. Any other questions?
How to become pure devotee? Why it is so hard?
Why do you think it's so hard to become a pure devotee?
Because we are not happy.
Not happy?
Not always.
Not always.
Not always happy. Actually, what makes it difficult for us to become pure devotees is our conditioning. We're so much conditioned to sense gratification. Even though we know better, you see, our minds keep going back to the same old lust, anger, and greed, madness, illusion, and envy again and again and again. It's like somebody who wants to go smoking cigarettes, you know. They know it's killing them, they know it's bad for them. But they're so addicted to the taste of that stupid cigarette. And they light up another one. And they feel so bad about it, they know it's killing them. Because they get a little temporary sense of pleasure, they do it again and again and again. So it's like that in our, we try to become pure devotees. We know that's where the real nectar is. But it takes a while to taste that nectar. It's out in the future somewhere, you see. Happiness in the mud of goodness is poison in the beginning and nectar in the end. So we're impatient. Therefore, we go for happiness in the mud of passion, which is nectar in the beginning and poison in the end. We keep bouncing back and forth between sattva guna and rajaguna, which means we're under the influence of tamaguna. But if we're actually intelligent, we bring our senses under control, then we'll completely eschew or avoid the pleasures of Rajagum. And we'll simply do the, engage in sattvic activities which will elevate us to pure bhakti. So it doesn't have to be difficult.
Todėl tai neturėtų būti sunku.
The process actually is not difficult.
Procesas iš tikrųjų nėra sunkus.
But we make it difficult.
Mes padarome jį sudėtingą.
If your nose is itching, is it difficult to scratch your nose? Does anyone have a problem to scratch their nose if it's itching? It's very easy to scratch your nose, you see. But we make it difficult. We want to scratch it like this. It's very difficult to scratch it like that. You see? Very difficult. So, Krishna consciousness is easy, it's like this, you see. But we try to do it like this. We make it difficult. So, we have to stop making it difficult. All you have to do is have complete faith. Yashya deve para bhaktir tata deve tato guru tasyaite katidarhyata prakashante mahatmanaha. Only unto those souls, those great souls, who have unflinching faith in the words of Guru and Krishna, are all the imports of Vedic knowledge easily revealed.
Ir viskas, ką reikia padaryti, ir pos mes sakome, kad tie žmonės, kurie turi visišką tikėjimą Guru ir Krishna žodžiais, vedų šventraščiais mira skleista.
So this is the best answer to your question.
Tai pats geriausias atsakymas į jūsų
It is our lack, it is difficult because we are lacking faith in the words of our spiritual master and the words of Krishna.
Sunku dėl to, kad mes stingame tikėjimo mūsų dvasinio mokytojo ir Krishna žodžiais.
Prabhupada even told us that we lacked faith. He said in Los Angeles, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. But you are thinking, maybe. In other words, we were his initiated disciples. And he told us we didn't even believe in the words of the scripture. We weren't completely convinced that the words of the Bhagavatam were true. We were still thinking maybe it's some kind of fairy tale, you know. So that's why it's difficult. We are not completely convinced that Krishna is God. We're still thinking maybe there is no God. Or maybe I am God. Therefore we have difficulty, you see. We are not completely convinced. So, how to become convinced? But because by becoming convinced, then you get out of all difficulties. How do you become convinced? Conviction is a contagious disease. Conviction is a contagious disease. You understand? It's compared to a contagious disease. If somebody has a contagious disease, if you associate with them, let's say somebody has tuberculosis, for example, and they leave some, they're eating and they leave some food left over on their plate, and you're feeling hungry, so you eat their leftovers off their plate, then you will catch tuberculosis, you see. So, tuberculosis is a highly contagious disease. So, in the same way, but in a positive sense, conviction is a highly contagious disease. All you have to do is associate with a person who is convinced that Krishna is God. You have to hear from that person. You have to serve that person. You see? It's described in the Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidi Pranipatena Paripashnena Sevaya. You have to find a person who's completely convinced that Krishna is God. You have to inquire from him. You have to render service unto him. Such persons who have full conviction, they can make you convinced also by their Shakti. So that's the answer, how to make it easy. You have to find a person who, for whom Krishna consciousness is easy because he's completely convinced. You have to model yourself after that person. Prabhupada told us that you should do as I am doing. He told us to do that. He wanted us to model ourselves after him. He's an acharya. He's showing the example. So it's actually not difficult. But we think it's difficult because we are not convinced that Krishna is God. As soon as you become fully convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, beyond any shadow of a doubt, then this process becomes as easy as eating a piece of candy. Vishadam candy. Next question.
Yeah.
I heard that the standards of worshipping Ugra Nisimha form is very high.
Standard of worshipping
Ugra Nisimha deity form.
Karma?
Ugra Nisimha.
Ugra Nisimha, okay.
And is it okay that sometimes I pray to him, to that form?
Yes, you can pray to Nisimha unlimitedly. Why not? We are praying the Nisimha Dev every day in our morning program. Bahir Nisimha, Hridaye Nisimha. So, yes, actually you can fully absorb yourself in praying the Lord Nisimha Dev. It's very nice. Prabhupada actually told us what is the meaning of Bahir Nisimha, Hridaye Nisimha. Those little four words actually becomes a huge prayer. Prabhupada expanded what is the inner meaning of Bahir Nisimha, Hridaye Nisimha. Here's how Prabhupada translates it. May Lord Nisimha Dev dwell within my heart, killing all of my bad propensities. And in this way, my heart become completely clean so that I can spread peace to the entire world. So this is a wonderful prayer for the preachers. To beg Lord Nisimha Dev to completely clean my heart so that I can become potent for pushing forward this movement. So Prabhupada taught us to pray to Lord Nisimha Dev in that way. For purity and for potency. Next question. Yeah.
It is one thing to give up such things like intoxication, which we give up altogether. But how to avoid such things as overeating and oversleeping, and how it is dangerous?
How to give up oversleeping?
How to avoid oversleeping and overeating, and how it is
dangerous? Well, oversleeping, alarm clock. You have to have a good loud alarm clock. And if you're one of those tamaguni types who turns off the alarm and goes back to sleep, then I recommend you get two alarm clocks. One goes off at 4 o'clock, the other goes off at 4:01. If that still doesn't work, you get a third alarm clock. It goes off at 4:02, you see. I reach a point where you finally realize, all right, I'll get up. And as far as overeating is concerned, you should always remember that Prabhupada did not like disciples who were fat. So you don't want to be displeasing to Prabhupada, do you, by becoming a fat devotee? He mentions it in his purports. He doesn't like devotees who are fat.
So to please Prabhupada, we should not get fat. You can eat what you can easily digest. That's all right. Whatever the body needs for energy and enthusiasm, that you can do. But don't eat just for the sake of eating. Eat for the sake of energizing yourself for devotional service. As it is said, eat to live, but do not live to eat. Any other question? This is the last, one last question, okay.
Did Srila Prabhupada like the thin devotees, like, you know?
No, if you're too skinny, that's also not good. Okay. Krantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai Shri Mad Sankarsan Dasi Adhikari Maharaj ki jai.